all were singing to help us praise the Lord this morning, but I want to tell you, you sounded good. Amen. 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 God bless you this morning. If you will take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And as you turn, please honor me by standing with us as we read the word of the Lord this morning. I want to finish, the Lord to help us, I want to finish our series on family, on marriage, on the home. I told you for several weeks that we try to spend the whole month of February focusing on the family because we still believe that it's important to God. We still believe that the family is something that's worth fighting for. And so we spend some time not speaking on man's opinion or world's philosophy, but seeking instruction and encouragement from the word of the Lord. I don't know about you, but this series has challenged me to be a better husband, to try to be a better father. God has spoken to my heart and he has reminded me that I can do a little better than what I've been doing. I owe it to him. I owe it to my family. I owe it to the church. I owe it to the lost world to be an example of what a man of God looks like. Amen. Amen. And so this morning I want to finish up the series. And I want to talk to you this morning about how you can pray for your family. The instructions that the Apostle Paul gives us in this text, beginning in verse 15, are some things that not only do we need to pray for the church, but we need to pray it for our families as well. So I want to begin reading in the first chapter of Ephesians in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Paul writes, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all of the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places." Father, thank you for this great crowd who have come to worship you. I pray now, dear God, in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to us in such a way that every husband, every father, every mother, every wife, and every child will be able to understand it. Lord, the family is under attack. The devil is doing all that he can to destroy us. I pray this morning that you will shake us until you wake us. And that you will stir us, Lord, till we are willing to move in the right direction for the well-being of our families. Do it for your glory. And do it for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you look at the condition of the average home, you don't have to look very long to see that the home is facing some real problems. Most homes and most families are filled with confusion and conflict. The average home is filled with discouragement and disappointment that usually leads to separation and divorce. The world, the devil, and the flesh is doing all that it can to wreck and to ruin this great institution called family. We're facing some major problems. We're facing some industrial size issues when it comes to family. Most of the people who live right in our homes and under our rules are discouraged. They're broken. They feel like that there is no hope at all for any healing, any deliverance when it comes to our homes and our families. The sad news is that not only is mom and dad suffering because of their foolishness, but the children are made to suffer because you have a dad that won't do right. You have a dad that would rather be a gigolo than a father. You have mothers who's confused and wandering in the wrong direction. And while they're wandering, the children are suffering. I want to tell you this morning, I agree with Dr. Adrian Rogers when he said there are no illegitimate children, but there are some illegitimate parents. So the home is hurting. The family, the biblical family, the kind of family that God designed and God planned, I want to tell you, is under serious attack. Could it be that one of the primary reasons why there's so much trouble in the home, one of the primary reasons why the devil is being so successful against the family, one of the primary reasons why so many families are failing and so many homes are falling apart, could it be it's because we have neglected prayer? Could it be that the devil is gaining victory over us and life has been turned upside down and the floodgates of hell is flooding our homes all because we have failed in the area of prayer? I want to tell you something this morning. Now listen. You don't get nothing else that Brother Anthony say. You get this. You need to pray for your family. Amen. One of the greatest blessings that you can give to your family, to your children, to your spouse, is the blessing of lifting them up to the throne of God. I'm telling you, if you and I are failing to pray for our families, oh, we're opening the door to the devil. Let me just tell you this, for those of you who are here for the first time and you hadn't been part of this series, take this home with you. The devil is after your home. He's after your family. He wants to wreck it. He wants to ruin it. And it's not just for your sake, but it's for the sake of the children that's got to grow up in the mess that you're creating. Oh, Anthony, come to preach this morning. We need to be on our knees praying. Do you understand that we got some problems in the home that all of the strategic planning that the government can do will not solve? We got some problems in the family that's too big for Washington. We got some problems in the home that no scientist will ever be able to calculate a formula and put together some chemicals that will solve it. The only solution is we humble ourselves and seek the face of God for our families. I believe the family is failing because the family is not praying. I believe that. When we come to Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. They lack family to him. They lack spiritual children to the Apostle Paul, and he's praying for this church. I want to tell you something about Paul. Paul was not only a great preacher, but Paul was also a prayer warrior. Paul recognized the need for prayer. And Paul believed in the power of prayer. And many times in Scripture, the Holy Spirit will let us listen in to the prayer life of the Apostle Paul. What Paul writes in this text this morning, I want you to remember that he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Paul could not write anything that was not inspired, not given by the Holy Ghost. Not only do we have the mind of God in these scriptures, but we have the prayer of the Apostle Paul. You say, now, Brother Anthony, why is that important? Because this prayer is inspired. Now listen, because this prayer was approved and inspired by the Holy Spirit, what Paul prays here, we can pray for our own families and our church families and know that we're praying in the will of God. You see, there are times, Solid Rock, when I know I need to pray for the Bless Our House. There are times when the storms of life come in, when the dark demons of hell invade, and I know I need to pray, but the problem is I really don't know how to pray. Amen. Have you ever been there? Have your home ever gotten to a place where it's got so many troubles, you go over here to pray about this one, and before you get to praying about this one, there's a nothing that broke out over here, and you just don't know how to pray? God knew that we were going to have that problem. So let me tell you some things that God knew about your mixed up, dysfunctional, issue-infected family. God knew, number one, when he bring two imperfect people together that come out of different worlds and out of different climates and out of different customs, he knew that we were going to have problems. Oh, y'all might, well, come on now. You see, the problem that you're facing is a surprise to you, but it's no surprise to God. God knew what kind of problem she had before you said, "I do." You know, God got a sense of humor. Sometimes God sits back and just let us make decisions. He sees what's under the surface. See, we only see what folks will show us. But he sees that bad attitude that he's been covering up while he was dating you.
Amen.
And so what I'm trying to tell you this morning, listen, God knew that your family was going to have some problems. God knew that Matt and I were going to face some issues.
Amen.
God knew that there were going to be some times when Maddie messed up. And Anthony just had to hang in there till God cleaned it up. God knew that there was going to be some time when Anthony messed up.
Come on.
And Maddie just had to hold on to the grace of God and to the promises of God until God cleaned it up. Here's my first point this morning. My first point is that God knew you were going to have some problems. I was listening to a pastor this morning as we come down the road. Man, I always listen to him. He's out of Florence, and he's just a wonderful, just a very wonderful and simple man of God. He said when two young people come into his office for counseling, one of the first questions he asked them is, well, how do y'all solve conflicts? And how do y'all handle fights? And they say, oh, we never fight. And he said, tell them y'all ain't been together long enough. The first thing I want you to see this morning, I want you to understand that God knows, and God already knew that your family was going to be where it is this morning.
Yes, sir.
But here's the good news. Not only did God know it was going to be there, God also put together a plan before y'all stood at the altar. Before you stood at the altar and said, I do, God put together a plan that if you would just be faithful, if you would just hang in there, if you would just give God some time, that plan is going to work itself out to perfection. Am I preaching this morning, y'all? I can tell you, listen, after 26 years, I'm sure Brother John and Miss Helen can tell you, after 64 years, we've had our problems. But God always had a plan.
Yes.
And folks, I want to tell you, you don't have to come up with a new plan. All you need to do is learn God's plan and work the plan.
Amen.
Here's the third thing. I promise you, this ain't the message. I'm just preaching out my heart this morning. Here's the third thing that I want you to know. Is that God seen the problem before the problem got to you. God already had devised a plan to deliver you from the problem. But while you're in the midst of the problem, waiting on the plan, God will give you the grace to survive.
Amen.
If you'll just receive it.
Amen.
I can tell you this morning that nothing that Maddie and I have been through in the past 26 years, not one thing have I ever had to carry by myself. Not one problem has she ever had to handle on her own strength. God will give you the grace to handle that thing if you will just latch into it.
Amen. Bless you, Lord. Yes, it will.
One of the things we need to do, we need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our families. I'm telling you, listen to me. You are setting the stage for failure in your home if you're not praying for your home. God wants to bless your house. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
God wants to bless your family. But some of God's blessing, the only way you can dig them out of God's treasure house is through this thing called prayer. James put it this way. James said, you have not because you ask not.
Amen.
I had 4 points for you this morning. I'm going to give you one of them. And then we're going to go home. When the Apostle Paul in Ephesians began to pray for the church at Ephesus. One of the things that Paul prayed was that this church, this body of believers, this family, this church family in Ephesus would have a real, growing, intimate fellowship and walk with God. It's right there in verses 15 through verse 17. Won't read them, but I'm taking his dare. Paul said, listen, he said, I pray that God would give you the spirit of wisdom. Revelation, so that you might know him better.
Amen.
Let me tell you something, listen to this. One of the reasons why our homes, our marriages, our families, our communities, our nation is falling apart is because we have lost our desire to be close to the Lord.
Amen.
The success, listen to me, every godly man, every Christian man that's here this morning, listen, take this statement, pray over it and see if I'm not right about it. The success of your family depends upon your connection with the Lord.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Listen to me. I promise you this right here. I'm not being ugly. I'm not being mean. But I promise you, for any man who won't bring his family to church, who won't pray with his family, who won't at least try to follow God in some kind of way. Listen, when you come to me and sit in my office, there is nothing I can do to help you. I said it, I won't take it back. There's nothing. Listen, if you won't let God help you, how in the world do you think a poor, old, undereducated, limited preacher gonna be able to help you? Here's the second problem. Second problem is right here. We got a church full of men and women who have gotten saved but stopped growing in the Lord. Oh my God, how many times have you been in a conversation with a husband or a wife and they tell you, I wish they grow up? Now, folks, listen to me. When you're not growing spiritually, listen, as a husband, as a father, when you're not growing spiritually, you hinder the whole rest of the family that's connected to you. John Maxwell said that the husband and the wife or the mother and the father and the pastor and the leaders are the lid on the pot. And whatever is in the pot can't rise no higher than the lid.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Lord.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen. So the home is hurting. I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm telling you, traditional family is in trouble. It's in trouble, folks.
Amen.
I'm serious. It's in trouble. We got husbands that don't love their wives.
Come on. Help us. Yes, Lord.
We got wives that don't submit to their husbands. And because the wife badmouths and talks about the dad, then the children think they got a right to badmouth and talk back to the dad. Jay, we got chaos in the home. And I come to submit to you this morning that I believe that the first step to some solution is that we humble ourselves. You see, let me tell you why that's important. Because the only way you can get a prayer through to God, let me put it this way, the only way your prayer can go up to God is that you got to come down in your heart. And so we got to humble ourselves and we got to admit and confess some things. We got to admit and confess that we're part of the problem.
Help us,
We got to admit and confess that only God has the solution. And so Paul prays for the church. I encourage you, listen, he actually gives us two prayers in Ephesians. He gives us one in chapter one, then Paul gives us another prayer in chapter three. Both of them are worth looking into. Only point this morning is this. He prayed that everybody in that church would have a real, let me ask you a question. Everybody look up here for just a minute. Let me put you on the spot. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Listen, are you a follower of Jesus or are you just a fan of Jesus? You see, a follower is one that follows when it's good, one that follows when it's not so good. A follower is one that is surrendered and committed to the lordship of Jesus Christ. They love him when he's blessing them. They love him when they don't understand him. But a fan, you know how we fans are. '99, Brother Earl, in my opinion, there was no greater team on the face of the earth than the Tennessee Titans. All I had to say about the Titans were good. But in 2014, when they brought us one win, well, they brought us two, they tried to give the other one to Jackson, but Jackson wouldn't take it. I've sat on that couch wondering why them folks in Nashville don't get us another team. So let me ask you a question. Look, listen. Are you a follower or are you a fan? Fans are happy long as we're winning. Fans are cheer you on as long as you're giving them what they want. The fans are fickle. And they'll forsake you when things are not the way they want them to be. Do you have, listen to me, listen. Do you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ? You know the interesting thing is that only you can answer that question. Do you have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it growing? Is it getting gooder and gooder as the days go by? Dr. Rogers said, he walked in the bathroom one morning. He told Miss Joyce, which was his wife, he said, Joy, he said, you know, I come to the conclusion about something. That old saying that you fall in love at first sight is not true. He said, real love is love after a long look. Real love is when you've seen all of the defects and all of the blemishes.
Come on.
And all of the imperfections. And you're still there.
Amen.
Do you have a real relationship with Jesus? Do you have an intimate, close, deep fellowship and daily walk with him? You see, the reason why that's important is that Jesus said in John chapter 15, you abide in me and I in you. For without me, you can do nothing. You'll never be a good husband. Listen, girls, listen to me. If you listen to me, say amen.
Amen.
Don't marry a man. Listen for the boys. Don't marry a girl. Don't even give them your time. If they're not interested in pleasing God, it won't be long before they're not interested in pleasing you. Are you growing? Are you growing in your walk with the Lord? Or are you just kind of walking on the same street, but on the other side of the road? And you're happy with that. You need to pray for your family. And you need to pray, listen, you need to pray that everybody in your home have a real walk with Jesus Christ. Nothing will change. Listen, nothing will change until there's first a change in you. You're the thermostat. And whenever God gets ready to make a change in the temperature, he's going to do something in you. Can I tell you this morning that there are many of us here who need to allow God to change something in us. It all begins with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, folks, whether it's your home or this house, unless we got Jesus in his proper place, everything else is going to be out of place.
Amen.
You've never been saved. You never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. You ought to do that today.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Out of everywhere else, you might be successful. You may be successful on your job. You may be successful even in your home. But the word of God says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Our great desire this morning is that nobody be lost, that you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Unless God do something different, change my mind about tonight, this is our final message on the family. This is our, I think that the Holy Spirit had given us enough in the past few Sundays that we can stay busy improving for the rest of the year.
Amen.
If we'll do it. I want to challenge you. Don't let the devil, listen, because he wants to. Don't let the devil steal this word out of your hearts today. But plant it deep so it'll bring forth a harvest in the days to come. You stand with me this morning.